Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
5223-2955. I want to hear from people who maybe your partner has meant to give you a compliment, but it's just gone completely the wrong way. Because me and my husband have just started seeing a PT. We've gone to the same bloke different times because we've got different requirements. And I met the guy first and we had a good chat and I was talking to him about my husband.
And I know that like a lot of people sign up for PTs, like some friends of mine, they see the same PT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you, obviously that's what a PT does. They work on individual and it's cheaper because they go like, all right, we'll do the same session, but instead of...
We've got a bit of a package deal.
Yeah, we'll do that kind of stuff. And I know there's plenty of PTs around Geelong that do great jobs.
Yeah, so he got to meet our PT a couple of days after me. And I said to him, oh, you know, what'd you think of him? Like, give me a goss.
You can tell who the PT is.
Zach's been absolutely great. And I said, hey, you know, like, what'd you think of Zach? He was like, yeah, good. Yeah. We talked about you for a bit. And I was like, oh, did you really? Like, what did he say? Like, you know, you want to be the best student as you want to be the PT's favorite. That's what I want anyway. I was like, of the two of us, like, obviously I'm the stronger one, right? And he said, oh, we both mutually agreed that you've got real nuggety strength.
Nuggety.
Sorry, what? And he kind of backtracked a little bit. He was like, no, like you're real strong, but like you're real strong in like a real nugget way. Like you like have a real low center of gravity. So like when you lift weights, you can lift them real like heavy weights. But like you're like a real like you're nuggety strong.
Just saying the word over and over again probably didn't help.
Didn't help at all. No. What do you mean I look like a nugget?
not a nugget, but could have just said, here, I would have used the word compact athlete.
Oh, that would have been lovely.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess, you're very strong. He said you were really strong. That's all he had to say. We both mutually agreed. You have nuggety strength. What do you mean? Yeah.
It happens.
5223-2955. When is your partner... What's the worst compliment your partner has given you, actually?
I don't know if this was not a... I wasn't trying to offer a compliment. I was trying to offer to my wife just last week a bit of, I don't know, comfort?
Yeah. I'm sure this went well.
Without giving the first part away, what I said was, that pimple under your eye is way smaller today.
Not great. Was it way smaller?
It was.
Okay.
It looked really sore. And that's the thing. Sometimes I've been like, oh, that pimple looks really sore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so I've got a pimple, do I? I go, well, we all know. Like, I know it's not.
You've got to pretend you can't see it.
Because I've got the advantage that a lot of men do. I get pimples. They're just in my beard mostly.
Sure.
So sometimes I don't even know I've got them. And I'll touch my face. I'm like, ow. Oh, they're in there. But she's never given me a compliment saying, that looks smaller than it did yesterday. Hun, I love you. That's a really small
not a
pimple.
Great compliment.
I think it's a great compliment.
5223-2955. What's the worst compliment your partner has given you?
Emily in Charlemont's giving us a call. Emily, this was from your husband. Danger territory. What did he say?
So for medical reasons, I had to get my teeth removed and replaced with dentures. And during my recovery, he said that I was the cutest gummy shark he'd ever seen.
I mean, at least he said cutest, right?
Yeah,
I've lost Tim. Tim's on the floor. That's so funny. I completely lost him, Emily. Did you in fact look like a gummy shark? Did you in fact look like a gummy shark? Now, when you look back on photos. Is it?
I laugh about it now.
Yeah, at the time. Sorry, Emily. I've got an 8-month-old son, and he's also got no teeth, so we call him a gummy shark.
Even my son, who also had no teeth at the time, thought that my face was hilarious.
Just like me, Mum.
I had no idea that was going to send Tim the way it has, Emily.
Don't worry, on Friday, I got a strong feeling you're going to be called a Hall of Fame. Don't you worry, my friend.
This is Tim and Jess.
Returning to your television screens tonight on Channel 10, 10 Play at 7:30, probably Australia's most popular and wholesome show, Jess.
Oh, yeah.
MasterChef Australia. and we know there are a lot of great home chefs across Geelong Surf Coast and the Bellarine. Andy Allen is carrying on Jacques Zonfrillo's legacy alongside three new judges. One of them joins us now on the phone, and we are very, very keen to chat to Poe. Good afternoon, Poe.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
MasterChef royalty, thank you so much for coming.
We're not worthy.
Oh, come on.
Poe, I know you've been invited back to the MasterChef kitchen a few times since you were runner-up in. Was it the first season you were runner-up in?
Yes, first season, yeah.
So you haven't been a stranger to MasterChef, but coming back in a complete different capacity as one of four hosts, judges, whatever you want to call it, what's that like? Obviously, you've been very busy. Like, we love Poe's Kitchen. We love the books that you've been working on and all those kind of things, but this is a whole new challenge, right?
Yeah, it is. It's 5 months of really grueling filming, and the being on the other side of the room is an entirely different thing for me. However, I do call on my skills. Oh no, not skills. I do call on my experience that I had as a contestant. So that really comes in handy, because I think it's really nice to be able to have that empathy for them and understand where their headspace is without really having to really talk to them. Like, you can kind of tell what's happening.
You're like, oh, they're completely overwhelmed. Or... Yes, I remember that feeling.
Yes, that's the main feeling.
Poe, when you watch the contestants, you know, we're going to see the first episode tonight, but you guys have already filmed it in advance. When you watch them go through and they see, you know, like the mystery box challenge and that sort of thing, do you look at it and go, oh, I wish I could whip this up? Or do you look at it and go, oh, thank God I'm not having to do this challenge?
No, you won't believe this, but I spend half the time being really distracted and frustrating all the producers because I'm still wondering what I would cook, even though I just delivered the challenge.
Yeah.
It's something that I think a lot of MasterChef fans, like I know, like my wife personally is obsessed with MasterChef and she puts like today in her calendar, tonight she goes like for the next few weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the days are, I'm out and I'm going to learn all these recipes. The plus side of that for a lot of people, maybe like myself, is at home there's a lot of experiments. Like when you watch the show and now that when you're part of the hosting and the judging panel, are you inspired back at home? Because at the end of the day, like we're all just eating to live, right? But we want to celebrate the food and the textures and those kind of things. Is that something that plays on your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I love seeing what the contestants come up with. And also, you know, sometimes dishes will spur memories. There's like all sorts of things going on. But also, when we're shooting, we are so busy. We don't really have that much time to cook, the judges.
Right.
the irony of it. And so I have had like 5 months of pent up cooking energy that I'm now just spending like a mad woman at home.
Because I imagine, you'd be pretty knackered. So, like, my advice is just 2-minute noodles. That's what I'd do in this situation if I was as exhausted as you.
You don't need to give me advice. That's my favourite food. Yeah.
Hey, Poe, before we let you go, I know a lot of people know you from your MasterChef and, you know, your cooking shows and all of that, but we thought maybe we could do like a little quick rapid fire. I'm going to ask you some questions. Just the first thing that comes to your mind, answer them,
right,
and we'll get to know you a little bit better.
It's kind of like pressure all cooking right in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
So except instead of like a 45-minute challenge, you've only got 60 seconds. So your time will start after the first question. Good luck, Poe, from MasterChef.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Poe, who is your favourite chef?
Oh, Matt Nigella.
What is the highlight of your career so far?
Meeting Zaniola.
What's the biggest complaint you have about your job?
High heels.
Oh, what would you sing at a karaoke night?
Eternal Flame.
If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Noodles. Any kind of noodle dish.
Are you a clean or a messy person?
Messy.
What's your favourite family recipe?
Okay. There's this it's like a hot sour soup that you make with like smoked ham hocks mustard leaf. It's absolutely delicious.
Oh my god! Final question: what is the which of the five senses would you say is your strongest?
No.
Oh. Well, you'd hope so. Yeah. Taste and smell would probably be the big two. You don't go.
I want that family no, recipe yeah. now.
You don't go into the kitchen going, I can really hear that chicken. I understand what's going on here. Poe, we're so excited to see this next phase of your cooking journey, being one of the hosts of MasterChef Australia. 7:30 tonight on 10 and 10 Play. Thank you so much for swinging by the show this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Perfect. We love Poe. And we know, like, well, Jess, Geelong's got incredible, great restaurants. We've just seen Chin Chin's been added to the Joel Selwood stand at GMHBA Stadium, better than hot chips at the MCG. So
hopefully some more home cooks getting their chance on this season of MasterChef, Tim.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
If you have or use Facebook recently over the last week or two, you may have noticed this new little circle, this little blue and purple circle on some of the posts. Mm. And been curious to what it is. Sometimes you just scroll
past. Is this what you were trying? You were asking me about the other day? Yeah. I still haven't got it on my Facebook.
This is Meta AI.
Right.
Now, Meta AI is a whole thing where you can ask, it's like an AI generator. You can ask it questions, give it prompts, asks it to create images, and it will do it. And normally, with my fear of AI, not fear, just my...
It's not a fear of AI as such. It's a fear of them taking over.
Yeah, I just think it's life's becoming a little bit too easy in certain instances. But shortcuts are fantastic.
Yeah.
I've used ChatGTP.
GPT.
I said that.
You didn't.
Sorry.
It's not GTP.
I thought I said PT. But whatever. I've used it a handful of times, mostly to give me a fun name for my fantasy football team.
Yep.
I've helped me get to like write stuff at work that I don't know how to write.
Yep.
And then I got it to make me a 3-day a week gym session thing. That's how I've used it. And I haven't used it yet because it was a bit much. But Meta AI is its own version. And I've been asking it questions about us because I want to see how accurate this thing is.
Okay.
And it's not so bad. So I said, tell me about the radio show Tim and Jess from K-Rock 955 in Geelong, Australia. It's pretty long. They're really... It's a bit overboard.
Okay.
But I'll do a short timer. Tim and Jess are a popular radio duo who host The Breakfast Show on K-Rock 955 FM.
Close.
In Geelong, Australia. Their show, Tim and Jess, is weekdays. They're known for their witty banter, humour, and engaging conversations on various topics, including local news events and pop culture. This is the most generic, this is what a radio show covers ever. Tim and Jess have a strong connection with their listeners. This is what I started going, okay. You do or not. They're active on social media, often sharing behind-the-scenes insights and engaging with their audience.
Seems very generic again.
They have become a beloved part of Geelong's community.
Oh, that's a bit cute.
Very nice. I asked it a few more questions. So who's funnier, Tim or Jess?
Oh!
There was like, that's a tough question. They're both known for their wit and sense of humour, blah, blah, blah. Tim is often, this is what I find hilarious. Tim is often described as the more sarcastic and dry-witted half of the duo, with a quick tongue and a knack for a clever one-liner. He's got a bit of a cheeky streak and loves to poke fun at himself and the absurdity of everyday life.
Okay, since when?
Jess, on the other hand, is often described as the more playful and goofy half of the duo. She's got a bit more of a silly streak and loves to play pranks on Tim.
Have you just written this?
No, I swear to God, this is the AI system I'm using in here. Ultimately, it comes down to personal taste. Some people might find Tim's dry wit funnier, while others might prefer Jess's playful antics. But one thing's for sure, together, Tim and Jess make a hilarious team that got Geelong laughing every morning. And
I said, again, not the morning.
Not the morning. I said, can you create an image of what Tim and Jess would look like? And I don't know. We'll put this up at our social media, at K-Rock Geelong.
Good Lord.
I think they've nailed it. That's us. That's what the AI thinks we look like based on our voices and stories we've told on the show. Again, we'll pop this
you
up.
You look like a middle-aged white man.
And you're blonde. But you're not. You're not. So maybe we'll recreate, we'll show a side-by-side.
Yeah.
And see if people can spot the real Tim and Jess compared to what Meta AI
thinks. I don't know if they'll be able to spot the difference.
I think every day this week I'm going to use Meta AI to solve problems. I don't know what those problems are, but this week I'm going to give it a taste. Just getting involved with it if you're
happy
to do it.
So far, not as good as ChatGPT.
Now I've confused you.
You've confused me. I don't know if that's right.
Just the AI robots is what we call them. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Something we've been very excited about all last week was...
last week, 2 weeks, mate. This has been my favourite 2 weeks of the year so far because we're really digging deep here.
Hot chooks.
Yeah, finally. Let's get into it. Yeah, let's go.
How many do we think are consumed across the country?
Well, not consumed, sold across Australia annually from the big supermarkets.
Yes. So we're not counting your local charcoal chicken shop.
As much as I really want to, and I'm disappointed that's not being put in the investigation.
Are we ruling out Red Rooster? Because I have not gotten in touch with them.
Well, if we're ruling out charcoal chickens, Jess,
yeah, that's
then
fair.
I feel like I have to. And I'm still furious because let alone... We already know how much Woolies is pumping out a year because they got back to you very quickly.
Woolies told us 20 million.
Just from them?
Yep.
In one single calendar year.
20 million hot chooks. Haven't heard anything yet from Coles. We have reached out.
Still not sure if Aldi actually does them. I don't think they do. It doesn't seem like an Aldi thing.
No,
to
it
have.
Doesn't, does it?
So let's just rule Aldi out. But we're waiting to hear back from Coles and IGA.
Well, we've heard back from IGA, Tim.
I know that we put the feelers out last week.
And
you might be thinking, Tim and Jess, why are you investigating into how many cooked chooks are sold in Australia? The answer is because no one else is.
Yeah.
No one knows.
And don't you just want to know now? Because I asked him this question a couple of weeks ago and he thought I already had the answer and was devastated when I told him I didn't have the answer.
So now we're
giving... It was all hypothetical.
Yeah, we're giving you the answers now, hopefully. Are we getting closer?
IGA came back to us, said, regarding the roast chickens... I'm not actually sure about this as all the stores look after their own sales data.
Well, this is the thing with IGAs. Their whole thing is that they're independently owned and managed, right?
However, for a year, I imagine it's in the hundreds of thousands.
So that's slightly less.
Hundreds of thousands. This sounds like a guesstimate to me.
But that could be
like not as delightfully specific as the Woolworths was with their 20 million.
That could be 100,000 or 900,000. That's too far apart.
Too much of a variable.
Do we just meet it at a half a million?
I feel like I need to reach out to a specific IGA and ask them about their sales data and then just make it.
Well, we need to find out how many IGAs there are.
Oh God.
Just email that person back and say, cheers. How many IGAs you got? And then we can base that.
Okay.
Use that information.
All right, I'll do some more work.
If you work at an IGA in Geelong,
Surf
Coast, Bellarine, give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think you sling in a year?
Surely it's more than the hundreds of thousands. Sure.
Just ones. Well, they only know their store, so they might be popping out. Popping out is probably not the best way to put it, but they might be slinging a couple thousand
a
year.
So, yeah, one step closer. Three steps back.
That is way... I'm left feeling more confused.
Mm.
Not confused, more just like... It's too open-ended for me. It's
hey, I'm back to that pin board, Tim, all right? I've got red string. I've got post-it notes.
You promised me that... So when's your honeymoon? When do you leave? On the 18th of March?
Yeah, of May.
You said you'll get this wrapped up for us all before you
go away.
I've got
4 weeks, baby. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah,
I have 4 weeks and a journalism degree. Let me at it.
Finally using that journalism degree. We're all proud of you.
This is Tim and Jess.
And a beautiful thing is happening in this studio. Mm-hmm. Will from the newsroom. The return of the king has finally taken place. Will.
I'm back.
Good afternoon.
In a big way.
In a big way.
Yeah, I'm here, baby.
You did,
it's all good.
You did say that because you were on school holidays and you went on a bit of a road trip that you were feeling just a bit gluggy.
I was, post. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're back, you're firing.
I'm ready to go. And I've been receiving a lot of calls and texts about people missing my presence.
Oh, good.
Not mostly really. From Jess and I going, where?
please come back.
Come
please.
Back and test our news knowledge with this.
Metricon gives you freedom to get more of what you want in a brand new home. Tim and Jess.
K-Rock. Have you been paying attention? But on the radio.
Let's find out. Will from the newsroom is back to test our news knowledge. He's bringing us three news stories today, Tim. You and I, we have to fill in the blanks.
Thanks for the refresher. Now I'm not going to figure out words. Comedian Arj Barker is in hot water today.
Boiling hot water, Will.
What did he do during his stand-up gig at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival?
Well, this was hard to read because I do love Arj Barker so much.
Do you know the first person I thought of was when I read this was about you?
Yeah.
I know you love Arjie.
I love Arjie. He actually told the woman and her breastfeeding baby to leave.
Yeah.
He said it was taking away his focus.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, distracting. It was due to, so apparently the baby was crying and carrying on. That's what he says.
Sure.
Bastard of things those babies are. Yeah. Just won't keep it, like, show a bit of respect. It's a comedy show, you know? That's wild.
From what I've read, he was making comments about the baby throughout the show and then got sick of it.
Wow.
And stood in front of her and said, you got to go.
Yeah.
And then other people left in solidarity with the woman.
Wow.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think it would be super awkward, like, just stick around after that.
Sometimes comedians that lean into, they go, oh, this will be funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's what I'm trying to do. And really overcommitted there.
Fell flat.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
American music magazine Paste is removing writers' names from certain articles on its publications. Why is that?
Oh.
I can give you a bit of a clue.
Yeah, because this is borderline impossible.
American.
Right?
Yeah, it's removing names from publications about a certain artist who just released some new music.
About Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Oh, well, is it because they're linked to Kim Kardashian in some way?
No.
I have no idea, so I'm just going to let you answer it.
So they've been critical of her new album.
Oh.
And so they've had to remove the writers' names because
they're getting threats. So you can't even...
Swifties be crazy.
Because obviously music is very subjective to the individual. So
except when it comes to Taylor Swift, and we love everything she makes.
Yeah, be careful, buddy.
Sorry.
Have you not learnt anything in the last 2 minutes?
What can I say?
I love
Taylor Swift's
thank
album.
Thank you. Good.
The Poets
They will
Society.
Find where you live, Tim. They will. Swifties are weird.
I actually
like
had a read of this article as well, and they didn't hold back.
Yeah.
It's not a glowing review. Let me put it that way.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself for fear of safety.
This is what I worry about, because, like, does Taylor Swift have anyone in her life that tells her, nah, that's crap? Do you know what I mean? Like,
because I'm the only person in your life telling you that what you do is crap.
There's a few.
Okay.
But
you're not.
But, you know, you keep me humble.
Sorry, you're not the most successful artist of all time, so it's also a little bit different. But yeah, maybe she needs a humbler.
Mm.
I think you'd be a terrible humbler.
Nah, I'd be a hype girl.
Yeah. I was going to say.
All right.
You're real hype.
You're both doing great.
Thanks, Queen.
And Australia's embassy in London has been renamed for the day after what hit Aussie show picked up an award?
Oh.
Ramsay Street?
No.
Oh, Edinburgh. Ebingara. What is it?
What?
Erinsborough?
Erinsborough.
Erinsborough?
Yeah, what's from Neighbours.
Oh. No.
Summer Bay.
It's not Neighbours.
Is it got anything to do with Heartbreak High?
No.
Oh.
Come on, guys. It's like the most iconic Australian show that's going around at the moment.
Aussie show going around. Poe's Kitchen?
What do you mean?
It's been renamed the Bluey House.
Oh, of course. Of course. I'm ashamed.
An Australian High Commissioner Award in London for its significant cultural impact in the UK and around the world, and they had a performance out the front of the embassy in London, and they renamed it Bluey's House.
Oh, that's nice. God, that's good. Mm. God, that's good.
Come on, guys, get with the program.
Erinsborough.
I've been paying attention.
Did they call it Erinsborough?
Well, I thought they love Neighbours over there. They love it more than
they
we do.
They do, yeah, that's right.
Just having a dip.
I think the Neighbours tour is about to kick off, actually.
Right.
So, around the UK, this is not happening here.
Okay. What about the tour of Bluey's House?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, all right. It's just asking. Will, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.